Chapter 0. Critical Thinking, Coaches and Going Your Way. 0.1. Start Digging. This book is actually written the other way round. I kind of start from the end and finish at the beginning with the chapter, You Need to Keep Finding Out What You Want. What the heck? I think it will be more useful this way for many people because I have noticed that there are much more people around than you would expect who don't really know what they truly and deeply want. For sure, they once knew or had an approximate idea, but for a series of reasons they forgot or gave up. Or maybe some really didn't dig deeper and never found out and just followed the pre-established path. Or they once knew what they wanted and lived accordingly, but it is not enough anymore, and they tried to reinvent themselves. And those people who supposedly don't know what they want, I mean, they know what they should or have to do to have a socially accepted life, a good job and a family. But chances are, many people don't really think about their own values, their own needs and what they would like to give out to the world. And they should. Some philosophers would even say it's their obligation. Looking for their vocation, for what makes them grow, expand internally, overcome one's limitations and not yield to mediocrity. Others would add that not expressed potential transforms into pain. When we shut parts of ourselves off, they might re-emerge as pathologies, anxieties, and other reasons for therapy. We weave our cocoon world. The cocoon-like reality might be useful in our primary growth, but as we grow older, our consciousness should help us hatch out of this cocoon-like reality and see the world around us. Be brave enough to open your eyes, look around and act accordingly and consciously. If you have a tight soul and tight mind, you will create a tight world around you, for yourself and the people you are surrounded by, and you might even not notice it. Open up, just a little bit. Take one tiny step towards the new, towards the freedom. And bear in mind that from the very beginning of your change process, it is good to adopt the abundance mentality. Focus on what you already have and what you are trying to get or change. Don't say, my personal life sucks, I need money, I'm fat and unattractive. Say to yourself, I'm in the process of creating a great relationship, making more money, getting in shape. But of course, mean it and start working on it, step by step, passo a passo. Finish the sentence. I'm in the process of, at least in three different ways. Do you know what you really want? What is it? Would you like your life to be larger? In what aspects? In what ways? On coaches and quick success. It's nothing revealing to say that we live both in easy and difficult times. We, in many parts of the globe, of what we normally call the Western world, have access to things, applications and devices to make our lives easier. Still, there's always the other side of the coin. The psychological or spiritual life will always be challenging, no matter the technological progress and all the appliances that make our everyday life less complicated. Also, we somehow get used to quick fixes. A quick fix for a headache, a quick fix for our emotional problems, etc. But As we all know deep inside, nothing worthwhile can be fixed overnight. Nothing worthwhile can be achieved overnight. You cannot learn anything overnight. You cannot write a book overnight. You cannot lose weight overnight. Understanding the notions of hard work, consciousness, and delayed gratification is a prerequisite for real, conscious change. Traveling on a 2-week meditation course to Thailand will not fix what you have not fixed in years. Traveling far, far away to find sense of life is senseless, because everywhere you go you will have the same shitty companion, yourself. Or anywhere you go, you will have the same great companion, yourself. But when you will have changed, that would also mean you will be able to stay relatively happy wherever you are. Of course, in some way, changing our environment is useful, because in a changed environment, it may be easier for us to observe ourselves. But then it's about observation, not quick fixes. On the other hand, life's full of coaches. They pop up all round, not because suddenly we have had an outbreak of particularly wise individuals who want to shed light on our paths just out of charity. Telling people at a loss what to do is a profitable job, and it is even more profitable to teach already wealthy people how to multiplicate their wealth and power, right? Sometimes the job coaches do contribute to maintaining social stereotypes. For instance, coaches who specialize in women's self-esteem. They ask women, "What do you do to feel beautiful?" as if they were totally unaware of the fact that they would never pose a similar question to a man. Maybe they would ask a man, "What do you do to feel satisfied with your life?" Be wary of people who base their help on gender stereotypes. Unless you don't mind, of course. There are also a lot of apparently successful individuals who have become famous because of telling people how to become successful. But are they really successful? Is their definition of success the same as yours? And why are there no courses on how to be free? This is where literally everything begins. Moreover, at least in Central Europe, there's a group of people growing every day who leave their not-so-well-paid office jobs, HR, marketing, journalism, and switch to coaching, looking for their professional Eldorado, which many of them find. It's the beauty of capitalism. Please bear in mind that those people on many occasions have no specific education and no specific skills, and not so much experience in complex psychological issues, but are very able in sales, in selling their own greatness and uniqueness and hope of a better future to hordes of needy people. If they do have a background in psychology and conduct regular therapies, that's a whole different story. But most of them don't. They frequently don't have other education and skills than their arrogance and the ability to sell. In my humble opinion, the thing is not to tell people how to be happy and make money out of it. The thing is to tell people to have a meaningful job, happy relationships, and a fulfilling, creative life. Look harder. People who sell happiness used to work in sales, often in marketing or public relations, or just in big corporations. If I attended a course like this, I would like it to be conducted by a happy translator, engineer, actor, etc., not just by a salesman or a saleswoman. I was wondering hard at some point why I dislike some coaches so much, even if I agree with some of them on certain stuff. And I realized that many are just sales predators, skilled in NLP and all sorts of manipulation. They have absorbing energy that leaves no space for you, for your thoughts, your analysis. They give you the perfect solution. They want to be seen as gurus. Sure, they make money on this. The thing is, they don't invite you to a real dialogue. They don't want to hear your story. They are selling theirs over and over again. An edited story of their success. Still, so many of them are really famous and doing really big money. Maybe it's because many people are not willing to start a journey of their own to seek their path. And a good teacher, coach, mentor always gives the student space to grow. The aim of this book is totally different. I want this book to accompany you in your self-discovery by telling a story, making some suggestions, and inviting you to do a series of exercises. Your self-discovery will probably be totally different from mine, as well as your path, values, dreams. But there might also be some similarities which will help you, hopefully, start a fulfilling conversation with yourself. You are invited to add the quotes you like on the margins. Your own observations. Nothing would make me happier than you making this book yours. Think of it as an exercise book, as your space to think, space to grow, space to cultivate your well-being. What or who is your definition of success? Why? What are your most important dreams at the moment? The relationship with yourself. Many people tend to care excessively about their relationships with other people and living up to their expectations. Don't get me wrong, cultivating relationships is of great value, unless we neglect undoubtedly the most important relationship, the only one that accompanies us through all our life, the relationship with oneself. It is always our own self that we will find at the end of our journey, so the sooner we face that self, the better. During your adult life, roughly from your 20s to mid-30s or 40s, you create your psychological capital for the rest of your life. So better make sure you do it well. Also, only when you understand that other people, your mother, your partner, your friends, or circumstances, having a kid, founding a family, having a well-paid job, will not solve your internal problems and you decide to do something about them, will you grow as a person. It's not about fate. It's not about circumstances. It's a conscious decision you make and execute. Please notice that people tend to blame circumstances, other people, bad luck, or lack of luck, for their not-so-happy life. Of course, you need to take into account the circumstances, other people, etc., but wasting your energy on all this really is not helpful to make your life better. On the other hand, some people stick to other people and want to grow thanks to and stuck to other people's backs and wallets, as if the growth of some other person could become their own growth. They are social and emotional parasites, often unconsciously. I believe that to have a satisfying life, you need to work on your own strengths. The stronger you get, the clearer your goals will be, and you yourself will be more independent of manipulation and pressure of other people. Bear in mind that, as they say, a truly strong person does not need the approval of others any more than a lion needs the approval of sheep. Many people are unhappy about their past, unsatisfied or hurt by the relationship with their parents or peers in adolescence, or marked by romantic tragedies. Your wound is probably not your fault, You are totally entitled to feel bad about certain things, but healing and moving on is your responsibility. Stop being and or feeling victimized. Self-pity is destructive and toxic. Stop hosting the pity party. I sometimes allow myself half an hour to cry and feel like shit, and then I say, fuck it, and move on. Or, in a more positive way, starve problems and feed opportunities. Stop commiserating. Stop thinking about how other people behaved towards you. Stop repeating what monsters and jerks they were. Possibly it's true, but cooperating with the wound solves nothing. It gets you stuck where you are. Instead, try to turn your wounds into experience, into wisdom. Think about how you benefited from your wounds, how they made you stronger. And again, in case of more serious problems or if you feel unable to deal with certain issues on your own, it's highly advisable to look for professional counseling. Reading self-help books or talking to your friends might not be enough. And it's perfectly okay. Getting counseling is one of the ways to take care of yourself. We need to push ourselves to become the best possible version of ourselves. We need to learn to see ourselves beyond our current limitations, fears, flaws. Because we always act in a way that is deeply connected to the way we see ourselves. The more we invest in ourselves, in the mental and psychological aspect, the stronger and better prepared we will be to face challenges. The more open we will be to see new paths. The more enthusiastic about life. What is your relationship with yourself like? What problems do you need to starve? What wounds do you need to stop cooperating with? What opportunities do you need to feed? Can you remember the traits you liked in yourself when you were a child? What negative thoughts do you have about yourself? Do you know where they come from?